Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's a molehill of proven ground. There ain't nowhere to go if you hang around, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is with us.
All that glitters ain't gold. And you've done that one before, Speller.
Jim Campbell's with us.
Hey-o.
And Pete Donaldson.
There's a voice. Keeps on calling me.
First line of the song.
Oh, okay. I thought once you've done one of the lines from the song is out.
Hey, I thought the song was out, Marcus. No, I thought those are rules.
There's one or two songs that
everybody wants to sell what's already been sold.
Oh.
Why don't you do My Name is Prince and I'm Funky? Why don't you do that?
Definitely on that before. Not on the show. In a bar.
Prince Funky.
I'd love to see you wearing one of like a chainmail kind of mask like he does in that video.
I'd like that as
is
well.
Is that the Batman one?
No, it's My Name is Prince, and I am Funky!
Pete, on the continents, Andy Brassel said he went to the Prince exhibition of all his costumes, outfits.
Cool.
And he said because he was so short and so skinny, all of them just like grandmother's outfits. grandmother's outfits. She's just like walking around at a display of a random grandmother's clothes.
Particular funky...
A funky grandma.
Funky grandma.
Little Prince.
Little Prince.
Funky Minnesota grandma.
God rest him.
Yeah.
God rest him.
Yeah. Mm,
indeed, yeah. Good start, though, to the show.
Great start, bit of Prince.
Talking about gold. Liverpool didn't get gold.
No.
They were not sexy motherfuckers, Marcus.
Who watched the Champions League final? I did.
I did, actually, yeah.
I watched the second half because I was at the wrestling.
Oh, my God.
The wrestling? Okay.
The wrestling? I booked it ages ago.
Biggest club game of the season.
Know,
and you were at the wrestling.
But
which wrestling?
Didn't miss anything.
Sergio Ramos was at the bloody wrestling.
Hang on.
There was some pulled shoulders.
Was it British wrestling?
It was British wrestling.
Oh, yeah, no.
Grant Holt was not involved. Grant Holt was... He's now a wrestler now, apparently.
Yeah.
Insane.
Marcus, that's not passed you by, is it?
What was that?
Let's not talk about the Champions League final.
Let's talk about Grant Holt.
He's a wrestler now.
He's a wrestler now. Or he's appearing at a wrestling show.
Mm. Would you still have him on the plane?
The cargo plane?
Yeah, you really wanted him on the plane a good few years ago now. Do you remember?
No, I didn't.
Battering ram.
No, I wanted Bobby Zamora on the plane.
No, I think you were battling half a Grant Holt as well.
Bobby Zamora.
I think it might have been me.
Yeah. I like Grant Holt.
As much as I'm generally the last man to take the heat off Speller, but to be fair, I think that was me, and I think we named a show about it back in the day.
Nice.
One man who won't be on the plane, though, is Loris Karius will not be on the plane.
Well, he's not in the Germany squad, so.
No.
He's not got a cap, and I don't think they're getting one.
Yogi Love's been proven right.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Proven right.
Gary Neville.
Yet again.
If not with personal hygiene.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I was reminded of that the other day. It horrifies me every time I think about it.
Maybe we'll see a repeat this year.
What, Yogi Love playing with his bollocks?
Yeah. There we go.
Bollocks. Didn't need that word.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, Lad Speller's back.
Lad Talk. Yeah. Oh, Welcome Fever is in full swing. Yeah. So Marcus Speller is getting laddie.
Maybe once every 5 weeks, this clan turns up.
I was in Budapest over the weekend. I may not have been on a stag do, but it rubs off on you.
Yeah. Everywhere's a tear up when Lad Speller's in town.
Well, you know, just the way I am, mate. Yeah. Deal with it. All joking aside, I'm still...
Karius will play football for another 15 years, and he's going to be talking about those goals for the next 50.
You didn't watch it, mate.
You didn't hear what I was about to say.
I watched those.
I'm still sad because... I genuinely really am, like, really sad for it. Like, gutted. Like, all joking aside, I did want Liverpool to win. Of course I did. And seeing his face after blah, 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 I was just sitting there, just empty. Goodness knows what Liverpool fans...
It was an incredible set of circumstances. Perhaps not the Champions League final we expected, but Norm obviously had every bit of the drama nonetheless. And there was a period of time where, and I'm sure we'll come on and talk about the actual mistakes in a minute, but there was a moment when the final whistle went... where Karius collapsed to the ground. I actually came as close as I've come probably ever to thinking, I don't know if I can watch this. It feels voyeuristic. It feels, and I've been on this show saying, look, we pay the money. We want everything. We want every moment of every game. We want to see as much as we can because the drama is as much as part of it as the football is. And for the first time, when I was watching Karius on the ground, I thought, this feels a bit too much of an intrusion. This is as close as you're going to get in football to a human being, a young man being reduced to rubble in front of our very eyes.
24.
It was very, very difficult to watch.
I think as well these days, it's perhaps more obvious that when that happens, he knows the world is watching in that game.
There's no getting away from it.
If it happens in a semi-final, of course it's mega as well, but in a final, he knows... And he's well aware, not only that they lost the game and, you know, people say he's let his teammates down, all that kind of stuff. He is well aware of the fact that this will stay with him for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. I mean, like, as you say, Marcus, I feel sad every time I think about him. And not just sad as in, oh, that's a slightly sad thing that's happened. Like, I feel like almost a little wave of depression. Do you know what I mean? The empathy for the man is that bad.
How does he come back from it?
What I was going to go on to say was that I think Liverpool were probably looking for a new goalkeeper anyway. But the quite unfair narrative shift now becomes that they're looking to directly replace Loris Karius because of this. So I think it's going to take him time to come back from this, isn't it? But I think back to when we were talking about David Beckham recently and how he said that, you know, when he was sent off in the World Cup, that was actually one of the defining moments of him and he's grateful for it. Now, it won't necessarily work out in the same way, but people are talking about it as if Loris Karius will have to retire and we'll never play again. It won't be that bad,
like,
but it's going to take time.
Given the two pens, and we're probably in the same bracket. Like, you sort of think, people don't really have that much of a clue what goalkeepers do. You know what I mean? Like, people are going, well, he needs to retire. He needs to move to a different club, blah, blah, blah. And he's sort of going, like... He's 24. He will have a long career. This will probably be one of his defining moments in his career. And it's very hard to be the hero when you're a goalkeeper. And, I don't think the Real Madrid goalkeeper is very good. You know, I don't think he's the up to the standard of what you would demand of a Real Madrid goalkeeper. When was the last time Liverpool improved a keeper? When was the last time? Like, Liverpool had a keeper that you'd probably hang your hat on. Probably the last time.
It was a while ago. Yeah. Wasn't it? Well, I mean, Pepe Reina probably.
Probably Reina before he fell off.
I can remember mistakes from Reina, mate.
I think Reina's a good goalkeeper.
I do as well.
Yeah, Reina wasn't without his criticism.
Yeah.
The Keylor Navas thing is almost, it reminds me a bit of the Victor Valdes thing in that great Barcelona side. People are a bit like, oh, well, what does he really do? And I see that point. I don't necessarily.
But Valdes was more important for Barcelona than Navas.
I'd say so, yeah. I don't necessarily share the opinion, but I absolutely understand what you mean. So what we saw on the TV pictures, and none of us were lucky enough to be there. So what I saw on the TV pictures was Karius looking very lonely. He looked like the loneliest man in the world. And a lot's been made of the fact that his teammates didn't go over to him. Now, Rory Smith at the Times, who was there, has said on Twitter, oh, well, What actually happened was for 3 or 4 minutes, they didn't go over there, but later on they did. And another goalkeeping coach went straight over there, which you'd expect.
Yeah, he did.
And Bale did, I think maybe Asensio or Nacho. Anyway, focusing on the Liverpool players, to me, I understand they've got their own disappointment to deal with when that happens. And I can't understand what it would be like to work that hard and work that long for that to happen. But I think at the very least, the captain has to go straight over there. He has to go over there because, and the reason I think this is not to have a go at Liverpool as a club or as a set of fans, because I know most reasonable fans will say, you know, we'll be very balanced about it. And all that stuff that's been mentioned on Twitter is probably not worth going into because that's just nonsense. And we all know that. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is you have to understand that if your club motto is you'll never walk alone and you want to sing that from the rooftops at every opportunity you get, that's fine. And I respect it. It's easy to say that when things are easy. It actually means something when things are hard. And we'll find out over the next few months, because he's got a lot of time to think about it, bless him. He's got no more football. I mean, Beckham was saying that, you know, well, Rob Green said, didn't he? Rob Green said, when I made that mistake against the US in 2010, I had a game in 3 days. So it was a nightmare, but I could play again.
Yeah.
Regardless if he was picked or not, but he has something to focus on. So
it's a long summer for Karius.
Exactly. And we'll find out a lot about, regardless of what happens to him in his playing career at Liverpool, we'll find a lot about the club as a community, about how much they rally around him. Because you're right, Jim, to bring up David Beckham and Man United. Slightly different situation, but Beckham has said Man United was his sanctuary in that situation. And you'd hope, as disappointed as Liverpool are as a club and as a fan base, they'll rally around Karius as well, because let's not forget, he's a human being, he's a young man, and he needs support at this time. Even if he never plays for the club again, he'll still need help to rebuild, because he's under contract with that club.
Mm. I think Klopp would probably, in an ideal world, want to continue with him in goal. I do genuinely believe that, but he's only one more, you know, problematic situation away from him getting himself hauled over the calls with that particular situation. I honestly think Klopp would want to stick with him just to show
there's a loyalty there, isn't there?
To show him a little bit, and he is one of those kind of like managers where if you've got to choose one manager to manage this situation, it would probably be Jurgen Klopp, to be honest, because he's an incredibly personable human being. Look at what he's doing, like 5 a.m, 6 a.m that morning.
Get a big hug out, Pete, singing
a Liverpool song.
That's an arm around the shoulder you want, isn't it? Definitely. You want both arms around.
Do you think Mourinho would rally around? can I just quickly say, if you want a measure of, for want of a better word, the quality of the mistakes that were made, and I think Benzema deserves a bit of credit, by the way.
Definitely.
And I don't think the second mistake, I was on the radio where they were talking about, I don't think the second mistake would have happened without the first.
No,
but it's a measure of how severe that mistake, particularly the first one, was that we're talking about that and not Gareth Bale's goal.
Well,
that is the greatest goal in Champions League final history.
I'd like to talk about Adam Lallana doing a forward roll and fucking up a defensive clearance and playing in a player who eventually whacks it over the bar. But
onto the bar.
If that had gone in, that would have been just... Well, no, it wouldn't have been just as bad as I'm saying, because it was dreadful what Karius did. But, you know what I mean? No one talks about that.
I think you're right to mention the Bale goal and perhaps it's a little overdue because we're already a fair few minutes in, and it was unbelievable. And actually, in terms of Karius, it's just as well that that goal went in a sense. I know, chaos theory aside, that actually you do have a moment that there can be an awful lot of focus on. So in some teeny tiny little way, in a sense, if you will, there is a little bit of a flicker of the focus that can be taken off Karius because you can concentrate on that goal. And my giddy aunt.
Yeah, I mean, to put it into some context, really, and I guess this counts for Ronaldo's overhead kick against
Juventus.
Against Juventus, yeah. Those players, and this is, you know, the level of Real Madrid, they are playing elite level sport on the biggest stages upside down.
One thing that was impressive for me, apart from the obvious, and it is time to dust off that quote again, which I say all the time, I know, which is, you know, talent hits a target no one else can hit, genius hits a target no one else can see. Is there only a few players in the world who would even be able to attempt it and let alone pull it off? But one of the things that's most impressive to me, apart from the obvious that it was a ridiculous goal, is that I think he came on like 2 minutes before. And the amount of times you will hear commentators or co-commentators saying, this particular player, he needs a few minutes to pick up the pace of the game.
Play away.
It's a Champions League final. You know,
and he didn't have time to kind of find his shape even. It was like, it was very Zlatan-esque in many ways. Yeah. It was kind of like...
He made the cross look good, but it did pick up a deflection on the way over.
Yeah, also, he jumped so early. You see, even seeing the replay, like you think that he's gone up too early. How did he know that would happen? It is one of those rare moments where you actually don't believe what you've seen. When that went in, I was like, I've surely seen that wrong. I was enjoying Zidane's, my mind's playing tricks
Zidane's
on me.
Reaction. Oh yeah, Zidane's it. Reaction was fantastic. And also, it shows as well that that to impress a man like that, it shows
who scored probably a slightly better goal than that.
Slightly
than
better,
that. Massively better, massively. I'm not having this.
Massive,
there's been so many pieces.
Hang on.
So many
you just
pieces.
Said massively better.
Massively better in the context that everyone in the newspapers is saying, is it better than Zidane's goal? It was better. Zidane's goal was better. It just was.
Why? Like, show you working.
It's coming from higher. His shape was better. This one was more of a reactionary kind of flick. It was a bit of a speculative shot compared to Zidane. Zidane knew exactly where he was going to hit it, etc.
To be fair, a reactionary flick.
Can I just say, to be fair to Pete, I understand what you're saying.
A reactionary flick is strong.
No, I prefer Bale's goal, probably, but I can't fault his work in there.
No, I do, but...
Because there is a difference between a premeditated, amazing display of technique and skill, where from the start to finish, you visualise it, you know what you're doing, and it happens. Yeah. And I'm not taking anything away from Bale, because I love the goal. He is basically chucking his leg up there and thinking, I hope that's going to go in.
Yeah, but isn't that an overhead kick most of the time?
I think both of those are an example of it being a premeditated...
You do? Okay, fair enough.
Example of both those players being like one step ahead of everybody else. Because as I say, Bale, he goes up so early there. He knows it's the only way he can hit that ball. And he's got to make that decision pretty much in the same second that he executes it. And he puts a lot of spin on that ball. Like, you know, he's hit that hard. He knows what he's doing there.
Let's just enjoy both goals.
Both goals, but what I
didn't
would
like
say
a celebration. He didn't know what, because he was like, that was brilliant. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I'll do this.
if there was an environment created in which you could have a go at doing both goals, which do you think would be easier?
Well,
to do?
I've got a damaged shoulder at the moment.
There you go.
I've got more salary at the moment.
Ramos. And I've been for a half as well.
Should we talk about Ramos and Mane? Yeah.
Well, we can. I'm so excited
about this. I just can't wait to get stuff out.
Let me just say that actually, for me, obviously the second Karius mistake, that just finished it. You know, that was like, ugh.
Yeah.
The first one, I actually thought jolted Liverpool back into life.
It did, yeah.
Because I say that, I'm sure, guess what, guys? No, I'm sure everybody thought that. But the big turning point of the game, actually, for my money, wasn't the mistakes. It was Salah going off.
Yeah.
Liverpool started so bright. They started like we wanted them to start. And they were going for it. And on another day, if just a ball had dropped at the right moment and so on, they would have scored. Now, who knows what would have happened? We talked about the game management and so on and so forth.
They could bring on Gareth Bale, one of the most expensive footballers.
Exactly.
In the world, and they could, and Liverpool could bring on Adam Lallana. Like, so it's,
well, Lallana's a good player, but he hasn't played much football, and it showed
injured,
a bit.
Like, people have had like fairly decent injuries on the bench and stuff like that. It wasn't a great bench
light
for me.
The bench,
wasn't. Actually,
it's not the same as Real Madrid, as you say.
But the thing that was interesting for me on the whole Salah thing, and I know what you mean in context of the mistake that Karius made. Liverpool started very brightly, and Salah goes off injured. And the thing I found interesting was because it's Real Madrid and because they're going for their third straight Champions League title, and you think they feel so comfortable on the top stage, and regardless of what you think of the merits of their team at the moment compared to maybe a year or two ago, they know how to win, right? We know that. The thing I found most surprising when Salah went off is it was almost like Real Madrid were looking around at each other going, well, we can go for this now.
Yeah.
They were so scared of Salah that they almost played within themselves.
Exactly. That's why it was so devastating for Liverpool when he went off.
It was more than just that they lost a player. It was almost that Liverpool felt probably that they lost
an identity,
their
almost.
Best chance to win the game. I think whether that's right or not, I think that's what they thought at that point.
Yeah, it's like they lost their game. It's like, like they lost their complete style of play through, you know, losing one of the outlets, one of the key cogs in that you know, machine up front. And they did didn't find their rhythm. They didn't play the football that's got them to the Champions League final, and a lot of that was because of Real disrupted them, and certainly with Ramos doing that.
But it was a real shame.
Well, absolutely, they did. But this is kind of what we're saying, isn't it? That Ramos just kicked that out of the game, really.
Well,
do you think he deliberately pulled his arm out of his shoulder?
Of course, yeah. Sorry, Jim.
He pulled his arm off.
Yeah, I think he thought to himself, how can I get this man's shoulder dislocated?
Yeah, but and people seem to think he's done that.
But I mean, to be honest, if you're near Ramos, he will be trying to hurt you in some
way. Let you know he's there.
It's not outside the realms of the possibility that he did, but to be that calculated, I think I'll just pull on everything that's near me and see if something pops out.
I think a lot of people in Egypt certainly thought that Ramos had deliberately tried to sabotage the Champions League final and the World Cup.
It was poorly received in Egypt.
Mido being the main cheerleader.
Ramos is a sort of attack on Karius was worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ramos is a type of player. We've seen all those sort of players, you know, at our own levels. We've played with those type of players. Some of us perhaps
you
even
are
those type of players. But I think I've heard Danny Murphy make quite an interesting point, which is that you go in on a player to hurt them. You don't go in on them like that.
No.
He's tussling for the ball. He wants to win. He's probably, in fact, I'd put my house on it that he's stronger than Salah. So he knows he can come out of that and win it.
He's pulling Salah down.
The injury is a side effect of what's happened.
Of course.
When he went
it
out,
sort of very rarely happens that injury as well.
Exactly. And there's no way he could have predicted it, you're right. But when he goes in on Karius a couple of minutes before Karius makes the mistake, I'm not saying the incidents are related, but that was, to me, if the fifth official behind the goal has seen that, Ramos has got to walk for that.
Mm. Yeah.
He absolutely shoulder barges him in the head.
Yeah.
That's a red card.
Mm.
And the referee didn't see it. Whether that affected the mistake he made a couple of minutes after, I don't know. But everything seems to be coming back to this Karius mistake. And the final point I want to make on it is that Jurgen Klopp said something quite interesting earlier in the season. It was either Klopp who said it or Karius who said it, which was that Klopp doesn't mind us making mistakes because we want to get going quick. So if I get the ball or if someone gets the ball, we want to move through the gears quickly.
He was doing that.
And he was doing that with the first one.
Yep.
And I actually think he was doing it with the second one as well, because instead of punching it, he goes to catch it so he can get rid of it again because the time's running out.
Well,
and he doesn't do either.
He doesn't. Mm. His fist's close to punch, then he goes to catch.
By the last goal, the game's kind of away from them anyway.
But they're still in the game when they're 1-0.
It's a 2-1 though, yeah.
But my point, Marcus, is just that he would normally punch that. And if you look again, the ball does move and stuff. But he almost changed his hands thinking, and it's almost like he's thinking, if I catch this, I can distribute it quickly.
Yeah.
And that's where the mistake comes in, I think.
He's caught in two minds. It's a striker missing an open goal, you know, and there's no point in hammering Karius because there's no point in hammering a striker who misses an open goal because he knows what he's done.
Absolutely right. And I think that's important. And I've heard people say that before. Matt Murray said that to us on the Ramble Meets. He said to me, I don't need you to tell me. I've done it.
Yeah.
I know what I've done. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
I'll play and go every day of my life. I know what I've done.
Yeah, yeah.
But just finally on the... I just want to make a quick point about the Karius thing, which is that I don't think the second mistake happens without the first mistake.
He did make a couple of saves after that first mistake.
Yeah. And sometimes you feel like a mistake really sort of focuses a goalkeeper's mind. Mm. Almost like they flick. It's almost like, right, I can't do that again.
Yep.
And they're back in again. You'll find them making good saves afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
But of course, you make a couple of that magnitude and that sort of final, then you're in big
trouble. It's the stage of it, isn't it, as well? And Ramos afterwards as well. Like, he's the Ivan Drago of football, isn't he?
He's such an evil. I feel with Ramos, the conversations that people have had in the aftermath of this final is almost, oh, you know, is Ramos good for the game? Or, you know, is Ramos, should he be doing this? It's like, where have you been for the last 50 years?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Liverpool fan, with respect, and I have sympathy, I like Marcus and I wanted them to win. But if you are a Liverpool fan and you're complaining or signing that petition about Sergio Ramos, well, give back your 1981 European Cup trophy then.
Yeah, Graham Souness?
Because Souness did everyone in that game.
Yeah.
He did everyone. And not only did I know he did everyone, I've spoken to him about it and he told me he did everyone. So it's not,
I did everyone.
And I think the reason someone like Souness doesn't want to talk about that very often is because he doesn't want to be forgotten as a great player as well, which he absolutely was.
Of course.
But this always happens.
Yeah,
you've got to be up to it. You've got to be prepared for it.
The problem is when you have a game, when it's like this, it wasn't the final we wanted. For the first sort of 25 minutes, it was, you know. Real Madrid, even though they were under the cosh from Liverpool and Liverpool going at them, they still thought, you know, they're still very much in the game. They weren't too scared. Yes, they were very wary of Salah. And Marcelo kicked him a few times, by the way, in the first 5 minutes or something like that. But you feel cheated almost as a neutral. Certainly as a Liverpool fan you would, but you feel cheated. And after the game, you almost want to go, oh, come on, can we play that again and see? Because you want Salah to finish the whole game.
Yeah.
You don't want the goalkeeper to make the mistakes. You want to see what it would have been like if all's fair, Salah stays on the field, and obviously Karius doesn't make an absolute blunder.
Yeah.
You want to see how it would play out, and we'll never, ever know. And that is the real frustration for a lot of people. If you lose 2-1, fair and square, that overhead kick, they're Real Madrid the better
it's
than us.
It's a goal befitting of the final, exactly. And that's that. Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a strange old game, wasn't it? Because we worried, as we often do about finals, that it would be a bit of a sort of damp squib and it would be a little bit cagey and not as entertaining as the games leading up to it. And it sort of was like that, but punctuated with about five utterly crazy incidents that defined the game.
Absolutely right.
I think the mistakes happen. There's nothing you can do about that from outside looking in, just to follow up on what Marcus and you were saying, Jim. I would prefer Salah not to go off. I mean, that to me was... That really... deeply affected the makeup of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's what's one thing's really sad as well, and we saw the same with Danny Carvajal, is that
you've mentioned him,
these players are going to miss the World Cup now probably.
Well, Salah's confident he'll make it.
Well,
he
is. Listen, the reality
one
is
it's one for Uri Geller.
He'll
get a few injections, he'll have a miserable doubt, he'll have a miserable couple of matches.
The reality of the situation as things stand is Mo Salah's confident, the Egyptian FA have said they're highly optimistic, the scan hasn't come back yet, so no one knows what's happening.
Let's get a deoxygenated tent or whatever it is.
No, it's oxygenated.
Yeah, we don't want him to suffocate. Sorry, an oxygenated tent, and he sleeps with a vacuum cleaner on. Whatever he does,
that's Rooney, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, the whole
salt
thing was Rooney.
Salt Bay will turn up again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hopefully he'll be there.
Sadly enough,
sprinkle salt on him.
You look at the group that Egypt have got: Russia, Saudi Arabia, Uruguay.
Chance,
a big chance. Yeah, and even if we do have Salah at the World Cup, he's not going to be the same.
Will Ramos? How will he manage to affect it?
He'll
turn out for Saudi Arabia.
Salah will make it back for the quarterfinal, and then Ramos will do him again.
Yeah, right. I think what I told you before.
Yeah. It's 12 weeks, isn't it, is the sort of general diagnosis for an injury like that. But so much of it depends on how quickly they get it back in, apparently. And he said he feels confident. So, you know, there are definitely... There's a spectrum of it.
I'm surprised you're saying that, because everything I've read said they don't know what it is yet. So you say it's a definite dislocation of the shoulder.
That's just what I've read. Right. So perhaps you've got more information.
As of this morning, they didn't have the results back, but I might have read something different.
Yeah. Zinedine Zidane joins Bob Paisley and Carlo Ancelotti in that he's won the European Cup or Champions League competition three times in a row, of course, for Real Madrid. I mean,
he's done it in 3 years as well.
It's worth a mention, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in amongst all the madness.
Does it still bother you, Marcus? The no sort of appreciation for the feat? Because you don't like that, do you? You liked that the Champions League had never been defended.
I've had a whole year to
get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. So a three in a row.
Turns out it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. So it's shame on everybody else. But Cristiano Ronaldo has won the trophy 5 times. Which is, of course, more than any other player. He didn't score, though, and you know that will irk him.
He's won the Champions League more than any other player, not the European Cup. Francesco Gento won 6 times for Real Madrid.
Champions League, I meant, sorry.
Yeah. The Champions League era, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
From the previous stat. I can't say enjoy, because... Well, no, bollocks, I did. I enjoyed the fan who ran on the end of the end of the match to presumably make sure that Ronaldo wouldn't score.
Ronaldo's comments were absolutely... ridiculous in the follow-up. I mean, it's almost like he
it's rather different to Gareth Bale.
So much odd stuff's come out after this, which is that Ronaldo's now saying that he might not stay.
Yeah,
a lot of people more cynical than perhaps you and I are saying that, well, he's not on parity with Neymar and Messi in terms of his wages, so he wants to get a new deal. Of course, he's 33, so I don't know. Or is he 33 or 34?
Yeah, 33.
Around that. So I don't know if that's true, but it did look very much like he was just trying to take some of the limelight away from Bale.
Yeah.
And Bale, I think Bale's talk about moving on is possibly actually genuine.
Yeah.
I think. You know, if you look at it, obviously started in the Clasico and scored. He didn't start the big game in Turin against Juventus. They go for the same team again for the final. He doesn't start. He comes on, makes an impact. It's clear that Zidane doesn't quite fancy him, and that Ronaldo and Benzema are the main men because of Ronaldo and Zidane's opinion of Benzema and stuff. But... you can't really do much more, can you, than come on and do that?
And what a way to finish if that's your last game for the club, for crying out loud. And also, it was interesting when he said, you know, a fair time after the final whistle to the ITV cameras, and they said, oh, what's the manager said to you? And he went, oh, he hasn't spoken to me yet.
Yeah,
Zidane hasn't spoken to you. But bearing in mind how impressed he was and how Bale came on and won them the game.
And newspaper this morning was reporting that Zidane didn't speak to Bale for 3 hours after the final whistle.
That's absolute madness.
I don't know if that can be true.
But he didn't speak to him for a fair period. Would it not be the first thing you do? You walk onto the pitch and go, that was a lovely one.
Yeah.
At least say that.
Especially given the reaction on screen. You know, his reaction to the goal.
But absolute madness. But with Bale in that post-match interview, you know, the reporter was saying that, you know, he was waxing lyrical about his goal. And Bale was obviously enjoying it, but he wasn't going over the top. And he said, look, I'm just glad I helped out the team and went on that line. Whereas Cristiano Ronaldo, someone said, are you disappointed you didn't score? Well, why would I be? The trophy should be named after me. It's just such a difference.
He's probably got a good shout, to be fair.
If you were going to name it after a player.
Yeah.
Jimmy Traore?
I wouldn't name it after Ronaldo just to annoy him.
I'd name it after Messi.
But you know, Gareth Bale doesn't really like football anyway. We all know that.
Yeah.
He doesn't like playing it. He prefers playing golf and all the rest of it.
Well, he does a good impression of a man who does like it.
Well, how good would he be if he did like it? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimately, a disappointing affair. at least, I mean, mention for Mane's goal.
No talking points. There's just no talking. Yeah, Mane's goal was a lovely little one. That's it. That's all I got.
I know. Dejan Lovren with an assist in the Champions League final.
Sadio Mane scores in the Champions League final, and it's really one of the least interesting parts of it.
I know.
That tells you everything you need to know about the game.
I think that was the problem, was it when the first Karius mistake, you know, as I say, jolted them back into action. They got the goal, and you thought, oh, and then Bale comes on and scores that, and you just go, yeah. And Mane hit the post.
That's a lovely one.
But I think the fact is, like, just go back to that, when Salah went off, I think that there was a feeling of, oh no,
yeah,
we're going to have to get and a bit lucky or a bit something, a real moment of quality or something.
And I think Mane was probably Liverpool's most impressive player. Mm. He took to the game pretty well. Didn't seem to affect him the occasion. Liverpool fans deserve an immense amount of credit for making that a real, almost like a home game. Yeah. And I hope they rally around Karius as well for obvious reasons. And I just really wanted to reserve a final word for Toni Kroos, who
him know, and Luka Modric. It's as if whatever the stage, well, yeah, we'll just pass it around.
I cannot find words to express how implacable Toni Kroos is. It's like, he walks onto the pitch and plays in the Champions League final like he just would be walking in here.
Yeah,
how you doing? All right.
It's like, well, he'd probably be a bit starstruck.
Maybe with you, he would be, because game recognises game markers. That's why. But it's almost like, what chance have you got when you go up against a player like that who he does everything well, everything, never makes a mistake, never does anything stupid, never loses his head. He can take a corner for you. He'll pass the ball 5 yards. He'll pass it 50 yards. He'll pop up with a goal. He's strong. He's, you know, there's a lot of good players out there. And we talk about Messi and Ronaldo and all the rest of it. Kroos has got it all. I mean, he's possibly one of the most underrated players around.
Yeah, because Modric is rated, isn't he?
Yeah,
people are aware, but especially in this country, we're aware of him. But yeah, Kroos, sometimes you can forget. I don't know about underrated, but understandably so, that other players take the plaudits and so on. But you,
well, he's not as eye catching, is he?
Yeah, exactly. But one shouldn't forget his contribution.
So, the reason I say it is because he put one pass straight, and I remember thinking, not like you.
That's true. It's very true. We didn't even mention the Real Madrid goal that should have stood. It was offside. But they won, so sod off.
Yeah.
there we are. Right, we're going to go for a break, after which we're going to talk about some playoff finals.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
That's a lovely touch. Lampard! Brilliant!
It was in now!
That surely crossed the line!
A World Cup moment to remember.
A little welcome home for you.
That's affected me on the fever scale, that. I've gone down.
That's classic Donaldson. I was thinking to myself, oh, England at a World Cup. Yes, yo. That,
Marcus,
I'm a disruptor, mate.
The greatest thing about this is we chatted to Pete and he said, I want to get some World Cup production in for the shows.
Yeah.
That's the one he's chosen. Could have chosen anything.
Yeah.
Chose that.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't choose the Rob Green moment.
Yeah. Well, that's probably
we actually. Yeah, true enough. There's another ad break coming up. Before we do any of that nonsense, it's correspondence with Petey Babes.
Hello, Petey Babes. Richard Frey has come in with an email. Hi, chaps. Thanks for mentioning the silly football league. You know, the silly eyes we talked about last week?
Yeah. That was a great story, that.
It brought back some good memories from the early 90s. I actually played for the Birdwatchers team in the annual match 3 years running.
Yes!
Wow. We lost heavily every year. The silly team weren't up to much, but we were genuinely awful. It was just basically whichever 11 birders turned up on the day. We did have one decent player, though, our keeper, the renowned wildlife artist Ian Lewington. He'd had trousers at Oxford United as a youth, but chose a career in art. He had hair down to his arse, which he bunched up into a woolly hat when playing. Every time he dived to make a save, his hat would fly off, and there would be hippie artist hair everywhere. He'd then spend the next couple of minutes bunching it all up again, but we were so bad that he'd be calling to action before he'd finished, and off came the hat again.
Lovely.
Are you showing us a picture
of Ian Lewington?
Of Ian Lewington, yeah. Fantastic, yeah. It was like that the full 90 minutes every single year.
I mean, if ever a man did look like a bird watcher, that would be
Ian Lewington. Yeah, so the email does go on, but I did quite like the idea of a man's hair just exploding every time.
I'd love a trip down to the Silly Isles with the team.
Yeah,
great.
Beautiful old job. Hello to Will Glynn. I just thought you'd like to spare a thought for one of our local teams, one of my local teams, Chesterfield. Not only have they had arguably the worst season ever, finishing bottom of the Football League and facing non-league football for the first time in 97 years, but they've also had a cock-up with their away kits for the next season. A few weeks ago, Chesterfield announced their new away kit for the upcoming season, a nice black number that actually looked rather swish. However, according to the National League rules, basically you can't have kits that are a similar colour to the colour that match officials wear, which is black. So basically they've had to chuck the shirts away and they've had to wear their third kit.
And the most intense man I've ever met, Martin Allen, is their new manager as well. And did you see what he was doing on Twitter over the weekend?
What was he doing on Twitter?
Oh, was it last week? He was announcing signings and different members of staff
I've got me. Do you want them?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically Mad Dog Martin Allen is the new man in charge. Yeah. He's off to a cracky start of his career as Chesterfield manager. He decided that in addition to coaching duties, he's going to take full responsibility of all the press releases.
Yeah, that's right.
You can find them. You can find them all on the Chesterfield website. I've included some of my favourites so far here. Good afternoon. This morning we have signed Curtis Weston. He is a champion. Take care, Martin.
Yeah, my favourite one is the one because they signed... They've signed that centre-back, Michael Nelson.
Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, ex-Barnet, obviously. I've probably worked with him at Barnet. Tonight, we have signed a centre-back called Michael Nelson on a one-year contract. Michael is very old. With great experience and good knowledge.
Martin Allen.
He is as fit as a butcher's dog.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
But he ends up... Take care, Martin. But apparently, most of the articles on the CFC website have been posted by Martin.
He's loving it. Really. What's the password? I need a password.
Even one about a club open evening. So he's just, he's a man just across everything, you know.
Getting on his CMS.
No director of football for him needed. Wow. So, yeah.
I got an interesting tweet, Pete, if I can just hijack part of the correspondence.
Okay.
From Matt Harrison, who says, I don't know if it's true, but I'm putting it out there. You guys might want to get involved. He says, Matt Harrison says, points fact I learned today, no other footballer with a surname starting with a U has scored more Champions League goals than John Utaka, who has two.
David Unsworth hasn't got any.
Exactly. It's the only one I can think of. Yeah.
Yeah. Rory Underwood.
Sid's come up with another Marcus Speller lookalike. I'm kind of having it a little bit.
Have a look. Who is it?
Who is
it? Oh, yeah, it looks like him. Who's that?
It's Manuel Baum, who's the... hang on, I don't know which team he manages. Augsburg. But he looks a bit like Marcus, so there you go.
Maybe we'll put
Augsburg,
that to...
we'll put it on the Twitter or something.
We'll put that to Andy Brassel as well, see what he thinks about it. He's an expert in German football and lookalikes for Marcus Speller.
Good news.
But himself being a lookalike, an absolute doppelganger for Sean Derry.
Sean Derry. Mm. There we are. Thank you very much, Peter.
No worries. You want to get to the show? As always, shortthefootballramble.com.
And we will be relying on your correspondence throughout the World Cup, where we might have a few games where there's nothing happening. So get involved, help us out.
Bearing in mind, the first game is Russia versus Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And not much football will have been played after. There's only one game on the first day, do get your correspondence in, please.
Otherwise, it'll be another Pete game. We all know how that works out.
Damn right.
We can't have 40 minutes of Pete doing World Cup moments on the jingles.
I think that's exactly what people want.
You're probably right. Yeah. Save us coming in.
God, he does look like Andy Brassel, doesn't he? Jesus.
Yeah, Sean Derry, yeah, he does.
Wow.
Yeah. Now then, the mighty whites, Fulham, are back in the Premier League. They've done it.
Roy Hodgson described Alexander Mitrovic as a little bit like Alan Shearer. So
did he really?
On board.
Yes!
On board.
You're just ahead of your time, Donny.
Mate.
PD. No, you've got to be happy with that. You must have been delighted. Is that why you're wearing your sunglasses indoors today?
He can do it in five languages.
Yeah. That's why Donny's wearing his sunglasses indoors.
I forgot my glasses. So I'm wearing prescription sunglasses.
Say in Japanese that Mitro is like Alan Shearer.
I don't know what Kara is. It Kara the same as? I can't remember.
Yeah.
All right. Work on that. I'll come next week.
All right,
next week with it.
Okay. A little bit disappointing.
But what a game.
What a man.
What a 19 minutes of treatment for Jack Grealish.
It really, really was, wasn't it? I watched it with my Villa supporting friend Paddy, so I sort of had my Villa hat on. And I was just so profoundly aware of the treatment he was constantly getting through the game. And it got to him as well, didn't he? He was lucky to stay on the field himself.
It was like watching the game in the 70s.
Yeah, it was. Especially with Grealish's legs. He's a very 70s looking man in general, isn't he?
Yeah, it was strange actually, because Fulham, you know, they obviously play the beautiful game, the Barcelona of West London. Mm. And thank you for not opposing that. And
well, I don't pay tax.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure I do.
Less said about that, the better. Obviously they play with a bit of swagger and great style, and you don't often think teams who play like that, singling out a player like Grealish and giving a bit of treatment. But my goodness, I mean, Ryan Fredericks could have gone off in the first half.
Yeah, he was very lucky.
That stamp.
Mitrovic himself as well. There was a point he was just running around pushing him over.
Yeah, but that's Mitrovic though. Referee gives him five.
The rules still apply to him.
You've had your five, Mitro.
Yeah. I felt like Villa fans won't thank me for saying this, but I felt like it was almost like a coming of age performance for Fulham because they play nice football, and I think if they improve and get a few players in,
I'm really excited.
And Jukanovic is already kicking off about that, but if they get a few players in, I think they might be well suited to the Premier League. But the times you've seen them fall short this season, they've been bullied out of it. They were bullied out of it in the first leg against Derby, and they turned it around.
They've been unlucky against Derby.
But Derby, a very physical team, and I think Fulham found it quite difficult. They certainly found it quite difficult to deal with in the first half.
Which is why Mitrovic is so important for them.
Quite. And my point just purely is, it felt like to me, as an outsider looking in, just watching it as a neutral, it felt to me like Jukanovic said to them before the game, this lot are experienced and they're hard and they're tough and they're going to hurt you here.
Yeah.
And you can't let them do it.
Yes.
And Fulham, fine, they trod the line. Fredericks was lucky to stay on. Adoy obviously got sent off. Kamara had one or two. And McDonald put it about a bit. But they all had to do it.
They did.
And they did do it. And it meant that they came out victorious. It was a great goal as well. Tell you what, it's worrying times for Villa with that team they've got. Because they're full of loan players, they're full of older players.
High wage bill as
well. Yeah, exactly.
But, I think you're right when you say a coming of age performance for Fulham, hopefully. I mean, of course, in my biased opinion, I was delighted that they went through.
I watched it as a neutral, but I probably would have preferred Fulham to go through because I enjoy watching the way they play.
Sure, and I think with Fulham, you're right, they have been a little bit bullied at times, although in the Championship, if you can play like they do and keep the ball so effectively and add, you know, Mitrovic has been absolutely crucial now that he's found a home where he's appreciated, of course. Peter, but
he'll stay as well. Benitez doesn't want him.
But they've combined all those things. They've had a rip roaring 2018. Should have gone up automatically. Should have beat Birmingham, of course. But you know, Birmingham.
They were on that amazing run, didn't they? As well,
they did. But they got there and they overturned a first leg deficit to go on and win the playoffs. You know, obviously the first leg against Derby. And I think that was the first time since 1995 somebody's done that. You know, I was worried. And I said, you know, my prediction was Villa would beat Fulham in the final because I just thought they'd be a little bit more canny, a little bit more streetwise and all that kind of stuff you were saying, Luke. And I think you're right. Jukanovic knows the game. He knows how to get out of the Championship. He's done it once before. And I think he drilled them and said, right, this is it. This is our moment. Fulham have not had a good time of it at Wembley in their history. Whatever that means, I don't know, but it can play a part in the psyche of players. But Tom Kearney has been a great player and club man for Fulham. You know, his Twitter feed is a delight, and he probably could have had a move elsewhere. He probably could have gone to a lower half Premier League side, would have probably been farmed out on the wing or whatever he would have done. He stayed at Fulham. He is one of their main men, if not their main man. To get the goal at Fulham, I was so delighted for him, and I just really hope that the club, you know, they've got a billionaire owner. Who, I mean, you could say it was almost like a home game for Fulham because he's all but bought the stadium. But the sound of things, whatever we think of that, let's not get into that particular discussion. But if Fulham, I am really, as I say, for obvious reasons, but you know, trying to remove myself, really excited to see Fulham in the Premier League because I think, and I agree with you, Luke, if they can add a few players and get a bit, you know, be a little bit more canny and so on, I honestly think that they could go into the Premier League next season and stay up. And actually, you saw some of the dross at the bottom of the Premier League this season. And I think that if they play the way they do, they get their kind of style straight and their story straight and all that kind of stuff. I honestly think there'll be a handful for teams.
Yeah. They also will probably hang on to Ryan Sessegnon now, you would think. You would think him going up with
you'd
Fulham
certainly
and staying.
So.
And, you know,
oh, there's not a chance.
He should stay there.
There's not a chance he's going now.
No. A very mature performance from him. Notable that he assisted Tom Kearney's
lovely
goal.
Assist, yeah.
I think he played well. I think I had a bit of a doubt about him having watched him in the flesh. But he played very well. I mean, you have to hold your hands up and say, look, there's a challenge there that he's been asked to accept. He's accepted it and he's excelled. And he's shown that he can, on a big stage, on a hot day, the pressure's on. Mm. He would have expended a lot of nervous energy going into that game because he's a young man and you hear players talk about it all the time. You know, it's not the fact that Wembley's a big pitch or whatever. It feels like a big pitch because you spend 3 or 4 hours leading up to the game so nervous that you spend a lot of energy. So for him to overcome, that was great. He had an effect on the game. It's a great assist for a great goal. And I agree with what you're saying about Tom Kenny. He's essentially a Premier League football player, so he needs to be up there in the Premier League playing. Jokanović seems a bit of a sort of no-nonsense character, and which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing if you're so brittle that you don't sort of bend to anyone else's will, because we saw that happen with Watford. I mean, he obviously moved on because he didn't feel like he was getting the backing or whatever. Fulham need to. He's already saying now. They've only got promoted yesterday, and he's already saying now.
Well, he was saying it in post-match interviews. Yeah, exactly. And I remember thinking, well, just let it. Yeah. But then I suppose, from his point of view, he's kind of like, I've got you here. Now you bloody well listen to me even more so.
And so it'll be interesting to see if they come go for a permanent deal for Oliver Norwood, who's on loan from Brighton, who looked brilliant for Reading. I mean, he's a really talented player. Whether they can add a bit of quality.
He's been on the bench more in Norwood, but
At Reading he was so good. He was one of the best players in the Championship, and that's why he got his move. And it hasn't worked out for him so far.
Yeah.
But he's obviously got the quality. So he's not playing. I understand he's not starting games. Didn't start the semi-final either. But he's got quality, and it'd be interesting to see what type of player Fulham go after now. Is what I mean.
Very much so.
But Villa, I mean, just quickly, Villa. Yeah. I mean, they've got a real problem now because they've got players on loan who are all going to go back. John Terry's obviously probably not going to stay. Yet, and that's possibly not got another year in him. Are they going to keep hold of Grealish? Graben's going to go back to Bournemouth. So there's a lot to do there. But I mean, Bruce has got a big job on his hands.
I feel a bit sorry for Steve Bruce as well, actually.
He's had a difficult year.
He's had a difficult year, and he's done a pretty good job, actually, trying to get Villa going again and, you know, a whisker away.
John Terry won't be playing against Chelsea, though. Presumably, if he stays out.
Which he wouldn't do anyway, apparently.
Yeah, so in a way, he's happy.
Yeah.
what about the aforementioned Derby? Apparently, they're in talks with Frank Lampard about the vacant managerial position. Super Frank wants to become a manager.
I love his hunger for this as well, because he, you know, Frank
Doesn't
Lampard will have made
that.
A hell of a lot of money out of his career. And he's a very, very good pundit. He speaks very well. It's very difficult to not respect Frank Lampard. And
agreed.
I like that he's just being so forward about this and so on the front foot about trying to get into management and just get cracking with it. So good luck to him if he gets the job.
Damn right, Jim.
Yeah, agree.
I think you've summed that up quite nice.
Yeah, we had to say that because we had his moment off from the World Cup on the jingle. Completely mugged him off.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah,
super Frank. Rotherham United.
What a contrast to the previous season.
Yeah, well, they won't be playing Pompey next season.
No, they won't. Which Pompey will be happy about.
But Shrewsbury will, so that's something to...
Pompey will not also be happy about that. Yeah.
Richard Wood, what an afternoon he had at Wembley.
Rotherham, didn't he?
He did. Both goals to take the Millers into the Championship. Rotherham manager Paul Warne said, "I call Richard Wood my human wrecking ball, as every time he goes into the box, he heads anything and can always do some damage."
Just call me Richard, boss. It's embarrassing.
I think, according to the manager, he's the only Rotherham United player over 30.
So, all right.
Quite a sort of a youngish side.
Spare a thought for Omar Beckles. Had a bit of a nightmare, didn't he? Gave away the penalty. Couldn't deal with Richard Wood, who obviously won the penalty and scored two goals. I know Rotherham missed the penalty.
They did.
But Beckles had a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. And a spare thought for old Shrewsbury. Friend of the Ramble, Murray James as well.
Well, I feel for John Nolan, who's, for me, I saw Shrewsbury at Fratton Park this season, and I've seen him a few times now. He's a great player. Really tidy player on the ball. I feel like he could do pretty well in the Championship, so I feel sorry for him that he's going to have to play in League One again.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, he gets a big day out down at Fratton Park next season.
That's very true.
One for the scrapbook.
what a lovely...
Is that like five times they try to go up by this method? Is that, oh, no.
Is it really? Yeah. They've not got a very good record at Wembley, because they were... The thing about
Shrewsbury... That's right, it is, yeah. The fifth time they failed at Wembley.
In this League One playoff final, their players were dropping like flies. Oh, yeah, it was almost inhumane. I mean, Shrewsbury had played 62 games this season.
Yeah.
They were in the extra time, it's in the searing heat, and it's almost got to the point where, look, the game is played at such a high intensity now, you couldn't get any football going for the last 10 minutes because people were just dropping like flies.
And it was later in the... Was it quite an early kickoff?
It was a 3 o'clock kickoff.
3 o'clock,
But by the time 5:30 rolls around, they're playing extra time. They're knackered.
Yeah.
I think it was something like 95 degrees at pitch side.
Yeah.
Because of the sun trap that is the stadium and everything.
Put the roof on.
Should have done. Put the aircon
on. Artificial clouds.
Yeah, it's almost
the Qataris are going to do it.
Almost as hot as it is in here.
I know.
So hot.
Ruddy loud. Great set piece routine from Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
What a goal that was.
It was an interesting one.
It was a lovely work one.
It was lovely. It was beautifully worked.
Doesn't mean anything, does it? Doesn't mean anything, does it?
Yeah. No, well, it no pictures a... on the score sheet, no, as you said.
Will you tell that to the grandkids? I am 50 years' time. Oh, we had this great set-piece routine at a game we got beaten in.
I think you probably would.
Yeah, maybe.
Scored at Wembley.
Yeah, true.
Thank you, Jim.
What was Wembley? Oh, it's a shopping centre now. But then it was great.
Just escalator. Then, it's an escalator fun park.
The Fulham owner bought it and it all went wrong.
Yeah, it's just flats. It's just luxury flats.
It's a giant super prison now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that sounds good.
Yeah. But you'll be in it.
Damn right you will.
Marcus will be in the in FS8 or whatever.
Yeah, Marcus will be in the Adidas,
Adidas cell. Yeah.
Come and leer at the prisoners.
Yeah. Oh, be at the front of the chow line with Adidas. Oh. Priority chow line.
You disgraceful.
I'll be making prison booze.
Yeah. Good one, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, mate.
I'm ready to go to an ad break.
It really is hot in here.
Oh, it really is hot
in here. Hit the button.
All right, go on then, ad break. That's
okay. Dead. Come on. All right. Actually, no, that one. That's rude.
That's
one.
Rude.
What? I've never felt this bad ever.
Oh, there we go.
Nice, pulled it back.
The man who could have been the manager of England by now.
That's not true.
He'd have played his cards right.
Yeah. Tim Sherwood.
Which he didn't, because one of the cards he played was that I'm a really bad manager card. Yeah.
Right, it's time to check our World Cup fivometer.
Yeah.
Fivometer.
Before we do that, we should check out how our better got on.
That's very true.
Our best bet this week with Bet365 was, of course, 5 goals or more in the Champions League final. And James Leakey, you came very close, but I'm afraid we hardly knew you.
Yeah,
you're out of here, pal. It was only 3-1, of course, so only 4 goals. So close, but no cigar.
It's a long summer for him.
Yeah, it will be, yeah.
Cocker Leakey,
maybe
Malik.
You should go to a couple's therapy with Loris Karius.
That's true, yeah. Well, now it is time to check the World Cut fevometer. And as you can tell...
It's in the order, mate. Get it in the right order,
as
mate.
As you can
you
tell...
You always have a go at me.
Marcus, wrestle this back, because Pete is being obnoxious.
Why I have a go at you?
Yeah.
That's not helping, is it?
No,
in the right target.
No, challenge accepted.
You've let him roll you there.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, that me jumping ahead on the running order there, my fivometer has reached fiver pitch. And I'm feeling good, especially when I saw or heard Harry Kane say this.
So let's have the quote, and then let's go around the table out of five and see what our fever levels are.
I believe we can win it.
Right, mine's gone right down.
And that's what we're trying to do. Anything else is not good enough.
I know. I know you've just been given the captaincy, but you don't have to say that.
I'm going for a 4.1 out of 5.
I'd say.
I'm still up at a 4.5, but down from a 4.7 thanks to Harry Kane and that jingle from earlier.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
I think I'm at 4, actually, because I'm still sad for Liverpool and Karius.
Yeah. Pete?
No, I'm getting there. I bought a Japan shirt at the weekend.
You did? So surely nice that shirt. Pumped you up a bit.
Even though I can't say like, I can only say therefore. Yeah. Oh, that works. Mitrovic, therefore Shearer. Shearer, therefore Mitrovic.
Say it then.
That's what I said. Kara, I said it earlier on.
I thought you said Karius.
So what's the Japan shirt done for your fever level?
I play football in it and I was dreadful in it, but it was a hot day, so, you know.
Oh, just give us a fucking score out of 5. We can move on.
All right, out of 5?
Yes.
He's at 4.5. How much?
4.5.
That's
which is
really
below
high.
5.
Yes, yeah. It's about to happen.
That's really high.
Sorry, are you not listening to this?
I thought it was out of 10.
No. Oi.
This is why we have a go at you.
Matt, I'm not even 2.5 yet. God, I'll get there.
Right. Get out.
Gladly, it's hot in here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody, for bringing Pete
in. So we're running at about an average of about 3.5 because of Pete.
Yeah. I'm dragging the edge down.
Yeah. It's unlike
I'm
you.
Like Rotherham.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Bloody ridiculous. Right then. It's time to talk about our England moments, of course. Welcome to our England moments feature brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it, live the game with LG, proud sponsors of the FA and England men's teams. Head of the World Cup, of course, we're reliving an iconic England moment every Monday, is chosen by you, the listener, with every chosen moment being entered into a competition to win a brand new LG TV.
Ooh la la. Ooh. There's the
door. That's not going to put you up on the fever scale. Nothing will.
Right. Well, the winner of the TV will be announced in the final show of this series feature on Monday, 4th of June. It's not that far away.
No, not that far away.
It's literally a week away.
Exactly. Mm. Not that far. Last week, Alex Munro chose England beating Germany 5-1.
Petty.
This week, Chris Tankersley has chosen Paul Gascoigne's goal against Scotland at Euro 96.
Enjoyable.
He said this, I was 11 and I'd been let into the pub to watch it with my brother and his mates. When that goal went in, the pub exploded. One of the blokes even managed to punch a hole in the ceiling with his exuberance.
I mean, an 11-year-old boy should not be in a pub where that's going on.
No.
I like that.
He's turned out all right.
Yeah. Well,
has he?
He's listening to the Football Ramble, so you've been the judge. Yeah, it's a great moment. It's a great choice. I was very pleased when we decided upon this one. I have to admit. I think. So should we describe the moment first? So England are playing Scotland in the group stage of Euro 96. Darren Anderson plays. What's the score at this point? 1-0.
Scores 1-0 because David Seaman has just saved a penalty.
That's right.
From Gary McAllister
after Yuri Geller moved the ball from a helicopter above the pitch. So he claims.
I mean, everyone knows that.
Yeah. I love the fact that
was the 90s.
There will be people, most likely not from this country, who are listening to this thinking, I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Yeah. Look it up.
That's why Carrick's got mugged off.
Darren Anderson plays the ball, nice pass actually, into Paul Gascoigne's path. The ball bounces up, he knocks it over the oncoming Colin Hendry with his left foot, comes down to his right on the volley, and he smashes it past Andy Gorham into the corner to make it 2-0 to England. And there's an amazing, iconic celebration as well, which I'm sure we'll hear about in a minute. But this was probably the happiest I've ever been watching England play football.
I think I might agree.
Yeah.
I know it was like a disgusting 22 years ago, but like watching the rest of that match, watching Paul Gascoigne like just hurl himself around that pitch, he was up for this game. And you forget that he was...
He had his hair done
for the occasion. He was actually a very hard-working footballer.
He was.
You sort of see him as this kind of like luxury player who, you know, could do some amazing step-offs and stuff, and he was silly and he was like great to have around. But he was such a hard-working footballer as well. And in this match, I watched it a couple of times for the Ramble book, and he bosses player because he really works hard. He gets the ball back. He goes in with 2 feet frequently, which you were allowed to do back in the day.
Yep.
Well, you say that. I mean, you can do it anyway. But on the Gascoigne thing, you know, we talked about, because he's such a talismanic player for England, and we all know that. But you know, we talked about the World Cup semi-final in 1990 when he was playing tennis on the day of the game or the day before or whatever. We actually, remember, it sort of escalated on this show from me mistaking it for table tennis in the sun to tennis in the sun.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, we spoke to, was it Paul Parker, who was the fullback for England in that tournament, and he said it was actually tennis in the sun across five sets.
Yep.
He was playing against two players.
Yeah. Two American tourists, and he beat them.
So his energy levels must have been through the roof, and he must have this situation where that's part of the reason he plays like he plays. That's the point I'm coming to, because he's just all over the place all the time. Mm. And the reason I say this is probably the happiest I've been is because I was 15, loved football, obviously. And at World Cup 90, of course, we had the David Platt goal against Belgium. The Cameroon quarterfinal, we were just happy to get out of the game, really. And then, of course, the semi-final went the way it went. And I was a lot younger then. So, really, this is one of the first times I've watched England and gone, wow, this is the best thing that could ever be possible. This is great.
This is my first tournament with England involvement, effectively. Yeah. Mm.
I remember feeling a bit like Gazza, actually. I was 13 years old at the time.
And I wanted
Saturday,
some Lucas
it. Yeah. But I had so much energy, I just couldn't sit still watching the game. I was so excited, I could almost barely watch it.
And the press had built up this old enemy type thing against the University of Scotland, right?
But also, having gone from that penalty, if the game had suddenly been 1-1, you know, that's you're looking at a very different picture.
Of course.
But then to just make it 2-0 so quickly with such an iconic goal. And also, what shouldn't be forgotten is that I think that was from a free kick from David Seaman.
Yeah, he
which Teddy Sheringham just kills. And then lays off to Darren Anderton. Like, Sheringham played such a massive role in that goal that goes overlooked because what Gazza did was so eye-catching. And it was just, it was such a perfect moment, wasn't it? That was one of the highlights of my life.
I think an innocent time. I think Frank Skinner, of course, Badil and Skinner, who were, quite iconic themselves, or certainly the show they did. Yeah,
they were the Ramble before the Ramble.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that.
Big licks.
And they'll be very pleased with that, legacy of theirs, or ashamed. But Frank Skinner said, I think it was his favourite England moment, and he said that it was perfect. It was Wembley. It was England versus Scotland when the teams were... They were a little bit more level pegging. I know the last game ended 2-2, but, you know, England are quite considerably better than Scotland at the moment, and England aren't that great. It shows you Scotland aren't so good. But it was much more of an even match-up then, even though England had were the favourites. And he said the sun was out. It was at the old Wembley. Gazza, of all people, scores the goal that puts the game to bed. And what a goal it was. It was an absolute beauty for an England player to do that. He just said it was perfect, you know. And the celebration as well, you know, England players before the tournament, I think, They were away in the Far East and they'd gone out boozing and they'd been in the dentist's chair, which was the celebration where you lie back and get booze poured down your throat.
And that was a big scandal at the time, by the way.
It was a big scandal. They took a lot of flack from the press.
A rare good political celebration.
That's right, yeah. And then, and of course, Gazza, that was the celebration, lying back and then pouring the water down his gob.
It was premeditated. It was brilliant.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Marcus, and it was great that Gazza was the one who did it of all the people.
Marcus, were you living in Scotland at the time?
Yes, I was going to mention this.
How was it taken? I'm genuinely really interested to know how it was received and what your experience of the game was, because you're living essentially behind enemy lines.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the stakes for this, being an English schoolboy in Scotland at the time.
Wow. Yeah, well, when you talked about your excitement for the game, excitement wouldn't be the word I would use.
You were dreading it, weren't you?
I was absolutely bricking it, yeah. And I remember, actually, that on Friday afternoon, the last block on Friday at school, I had PE, and first block on a Monday. And there was a class that were a couple of years older that had the same setup, and there was a group of lads who were a bit older.
Were they going to kick your head in?
They weren't going to verbally. They were.
Yeah.
And I remember
Scotland is just as bad.
Yeah. Right. And on the Friday afternoon, as I left school, I walked past this pack of wolves. And they started saying, oh, you know, we're going to hammer you. But it was nasty. And I remember thinking, oh, man, you know. And then on Monday morning, where I walked in, I just, morning, gentlemen. That's what annoying me. I just said good morning.
I'd have chinned you anyway.
You say gentlemen.
I don't know if I said gentlemen.
Richard Keys strolling into school.
I expect you will wonder why I've asked you here.
Smarten up, chaps. Tuck that shirt in. but I remember there was a headline in one of the Scottish tabloids just before the game that said, "How will gub the English?" Which I quite enjoyed.
Listen, thanks for that very much. What's your name? Chris Tankersley. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. Great moment. Very happy to relive that. And what better way to experience more England moments this summer, if you aren't travelling to Russia, of course, than with an LG OLED TV and soundbar. To win a new LG TV, just email into competition@thefootballramble.com. And let us know your favourite England moment for that chance to win. And we'll be selecting our final one next Monday on the 4th of June, of course, and then announcing the winner. Don't forget, the competition winner will be selected from the shortlist we've been broadcasting.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
One to go. So yes. Make it interesting.
Yeah. One to go. That's our latest England moment, brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it, live the game with LG. Proud sponsors of the FA and the England men's teams.
Lovely.
Has that notched your World Cup fever?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm approaching 2.5, so good. I'm good. Yeah,
he's a Geordie. You must be loving it.
He's not a Geordie.
Yeah, but he's from the same. He loves Newcastle. Gascoigne is a famous Geordie.
Before
are you a Geordie?
Are you a Geordie? I'm glad they didn't fucking go up. Villa having a puff at Newcastle when they went down, pricks.
Yeah, well, that was funny. I was there at that time. That was very funny.
Uh-huh. Well, there we are. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, we're off.
Yeah, don't forget, there's no preview show this Thursday.
That's it.
We are back Monday the 4th of June. And then we're back again on the 13th, I think, for our first of our World Cup shows. So look out for that. But no preview show this Thursday. Don't hate the players, hate the game.
That's right.
And we'll see you next Monday.
Because it is literally the game's fault.
It is.
Yeah, the game of football. Say goodbye, Luke.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, man. I can't believe I actually said that.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Winners don't use drugs.
Say goodbye, Peter.
I don't know. I'll be making prison booze.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.